First of all, I should share with you my story with Canada. I joined the Foreign Affairs in the late 1990s, and the first assignment I got is to sit on Canadian desk. So that's where I first bump into people from Canada. I mean, we are still friends. I'm very glad to be back and see those young diplomats when they were in Beijing and they become directors, or even some of them ambassadors here in DFA. So I do feel very much personally related to Canada. So it's a great joy for me to be back in Canada again. And I came here last August, and I'm very happy to continue with this relationship we have been working on for the last 40 years. We established the diplomatic relations in 1970, which is 8 years before we had this relationship with the U.S., and also pretty early in China's foreign affairs on the diplomatic relations with the rest of the world. So let me give you a brief picture of what the relationship looks like at the moment. First of all, the high-level exchange of visits and meetings are very frequent between our two countries. December 2009, that's where Prime Minister Harper first visited China ever since he took office. And then that visit was followed by a very good state visit by President Hu Jintao to Canada in 2010, and during which both sides make their political commitment to develop this strategic partnership between these two great countries. And last February, your Prime Minister was in China again for a second time, and it was a very good visit. We reached a long list of deliverables, both in political sense, in economic sense, and among them, the big ones are the FIPA, the Foreign Investment Protection Agreement between the two countries, and double taxation agreement. And we have a lot of others on nuclear energy and education and quarantine and so on. Oh, sorry. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Last month, President Hu Jintao met with Stephen Harper in Russia during the APEC summit. They reached a lot of consensus as well. And at other levels, the Speaker of the Senate, of your Senate, visit China regularly. And a lot of cabinet ministers were in China. Your foreign minister and his counterpart in China, they see each other very regularly. The reason why I give you these examples is because the person-to-person relationship at the high level is very important. I mean, it's crucial. I mean, by being in a country, it's not only an opportunity for you to get the first-hand information about this country, but also to cultivate this person-to-person relationship, which makes it all the way easier for to communicate in person and reach consensus. So that's the first aspect of this relationship at the moment. Secondly is the commercial trade investment relationship. According to the statistics by Chinese side, for the last 2 years, the bilateral trade has been growing at a rate of 30% annually, and it reached $47.4 billion, which is 500 times of that when we just established the relationship in 1970. And China has now become the second largest trading partner for Canada and the third largest export market. And up to July this year, the Canadian side has 12,000 enterprises or projects in China with a total investment of $84 billion, ranging from manufacturing, minerals, railway transportation, aeronautics, and etc. And ever since 2009, China's investors, especially in the mineral and resources sector, we have invested $16 billion in this country. And China has become one of the top 10 sources of foreign investment for Canada. Not long ago, we finished our negotiation on the, as I say, the peaceful use of nuclear energy, and we released the results of the joint complementarity study of the two economies. So against this background of slowing down of the world economy, I think this growing relationship, this exciting relationship of trading investment between Canada and China really sent out a strong signal that by joining hands, we can survive this world economic crisis. The third aspect I want to talk about is the people-to-people link. In the year 1970, the total number of people traveling between Canada and China is only about 1,000. But today, there are more than 2,000 people traveling between our two countries each day. And when we established the diplomatic relations in the 70s, there are only 9 Chinese students studying in Canada. And one of them later became the Chinese ambassador to Canada. And at the moment, the number is 70,000. So 1 out of every 4 foreign students studying here in Canada are from China. And talking about tourists, June 2010, when President Hu visited here, we signed the approved destination status agreement. So the year following, which 2011, there are 350,000 Chinese tourists visit Canada, and the number is growing. And also, the first 8 months of this year saw another increase of 25%. Of Chinese tourists coming this way. And we have direct flights from major cities in China to major cities here in Canada, operating by the Hainan Airlines, by China South Airlines, and Sichuan Airlines. So we're enjoying more non-stop direct flights from Beijing, Shanghai, Chongqing to Vancouver, Toronto, which is a good thing. And also in your Prime Minister's visit last February, we agreed to send 2 panda bears to Canada for the next 10 years. For the first 5 years in Calgary, and the second half in Toronto. So, which is a very lovely thing to have this kind of joint studies on the preservation of panda bears. So these are, the people-to-people link is the very fabric that this relationship need and grow upon. So we are putting more and more effort and resources in this people-to-people link. And I think the China Week that we are having now is a very important brick in that building of this relationship. And fourthly, it's about the multilateral cooperation. We are all members as 2 great countries in G20, in APEC, and in UN. And we do have a lot of communication and consultation on multinational issues. International governance, economic governance, integration of Asia Pacific, climate change, and so on. And because we believe China and Canada, they are all important members of this Asia-Pacific region. And we should do our shares in contributing to the world peace and stability. So what are the key drivers behind this growing relationship? I mean, first of all, it's because we do share this, have this affection. We feel related to each other. We only had this diplomatic relations for 42 years, but our communication and interaction dates way back. About a century ago, a lot of Chinese workers that came here to help build the Pacific Highway, Pacific Railway. And some 70 years ago, Dr. Norman Bethune went to China and dedicated his life to the war, the Chinese war against the Japanese invasion. And more recently, you have this comedian called Da Shan, Mark Roswell. I mean, he's a household brand name for Canada, which is very good. And I heard that the Canadian exports the most comedians to the world. It's one of the countries capable of creating comedians. I mean, he's fabulous. I mean, especially during the visit by your Prime Minister last February, he was host on many occasions, and people just flocked there just to see himself, not the Prime Minister. So he's doing pretty good there. So that's one of the things that drive this relationship forward. Second is the strong economic complementarity. We are different in the size of population, in our natural conditions, and the phase of development. We are different, but these different creates complementarity between our two economies. We have this huge market of 1.3 billion people. You have abundant natural resources, and we have quite abundant labor forces. Now we have the capital, we have the money. In Canada, you got this stable market. You have very mature managerial systems and technologies that we want to share. So the recently released joint complementary study shows actually pinpointed several of the key areas that our two countries should make more effort in finding projects and areas that where we can work together. I think it's there. I don't want to repeat that. The third driving force, I think, between our relationship is the change of our era. I mean, it's a world of increasing interdependence between countries, and which makes us feel that we realize how important the other partner is, so important to the development of yourself. And so what's the and also this interdependence have made it all the more important for us to realize the convergence of interests that we have. So what are the way forward and the key to a better future of our bilateral relationship? First is opportunity. You've got to seize the opportunity. China at the moment is undergoing very quick and a fast-growing transformation of the mode of its economy, and we are developing, I mean, we try to expand the domestic consumption. And also we have these strategic emerging industries like R&D, innovation, environment protection, energy saving, and a lot of these areas where Canada are pretty strong. And also the good economy here in this country and stable market and your modern service industry, they are all the strength that you can share with us. I mean, you can build this win-win relationship between our two countries. And also we do welcome the diversification of trade and investment policies taken by this current government in Canada. And second is a very important in your relationship with people, in your relationship with country, is equality and mutual respect. China and Canada are quite different in our history, in our culture, and our social systems. But I think that should not be hindering the good relationship we have. So long as we respect each other, so long as we treat each other as equals, I think we can live in harmony and peace. In 2009, when Mr. Harper visited first to China, we issued this China-Canada Joint Declaration. And one of the bedrocks in that declaration is this principle of mutual respect. And so I did see in my experience with this local media that there are some concerns about this relationship. Are we going too fast? Well, I think no. This principle of mutual respect and mutual recognition of key interests or core interests of each other is the recognition of diversification of this world that we are living in, and it's also showing the principle of inclusiveness. So by respecting each other, we're not saying that we can see eye to eye on every issue. But the key thing is to put the differences in the proper place in the relationship, and do not let those differences become obstacles to our relations. And the third aspect is about this win-win idea. Some of the people, people may hear, particularly in recent times, about this big deal, the commercial deal going on between Sinopec and Nexen. And people are worrying about whether or not Canada is on the losing side of this deal. But my answer would be no. People are worrying about Chinese companies, investors grabbing the Canadian resources of Canada. But actually, if you read these Chinese investors very carefully, and look at those deals very carefully, what they got by investing in Canada is the right to extraction in a given period of time. And the Chinese, they pay the royalty to local governments. They help to build the local communities. They sponsor a lot of cultural activities. They are the responsible corporate citizen. And for China, we are on the other side. We are getting these experience of investing in Canada. These investors diversify their investment portfolio. So that's what they got. But for these resources and for the products itself, they are sold on the international market. They're not in the suitcase of these Chinese investors. And that's the point I want to make. So this investment and relationship between Canada and China is all about win-win timing. You got what you want, what we need, and we got what we need. So, and also there's another worry about Canadian investors. Okay, I'll be good. So about this Canadian corporate or companies not getting equal opportunities back in China, let me give some example. Canadians were in China way before China came here. Canada is one of the last or the latest destination of Chinese investors. For example, the Bombardier, they were in China like 1954. they start their business we start cooperation in 1954, and they start establishing joint ventures in the late 90s, and they were in railway, consulting, engineering. And the business aircraft from Bombardier actually occupy 30% of the local market in China. BMO went to China in 1982, and it has, at the moment, established all operation outfit in the first tier cities like Beijing, Shanghai, Guangzhou, and Hong Kong. Manulife were in China in 1996, and it has now employed 150,000 employers and have 680 clients. And its operation is in 50 cities in China. So Canadians are getting more and more opportunities of investment in China. And China is always open to foreign investment. That's why for the last 10 years, China has been the world's largest largest amount of foreign investment. So we'll continue on that policy. So the point I want to make here is this relationship between China and Canada is a win-win scenario, which needs both the government and people like you and the business people. We are all going to put effort in this relationship of mutual respect and mutual benefit. That's the message I want to bring here. And thank you very much for it.